This is Inheritance. Presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the American Legion. Stories out of the great fabric of visions, struggles, and accomplishments of the American past. Stories of our inheritance.
I bought a secondhand book yesterday. It only cost 19 cents because the binding was torn. A few pages were missing. The pages are yellow now, and the illustrations are a little old-fashioned. It was published in 1910. But that book was written by Myra Kelly, and she was my first teacher in America. I remember Miss Kelly because in her first reader class, I changed from an alien in a new world, from a little immigrant, to an American. We lived on Hester Street on the east side in New York. Everything was strange and frightening because we had come out of Russia only 6 months before. The faces, the language, the sounds of the street were all new, therefore strange, and therefore terrifying.
For frying, for baking, for cooking, herring, herring, herring for every meal, herring.
One day when I was 7 years old, my mother washed me till my knees and elbows were rubbed raw. And then she pinned my shirt to my short, tight knickers and towed me through the crowded streets to the yawning doorway of Public School 147.
All right, ladies, please, please. We'll register all the children. Now, please, ladies, every child will get to school.
Somehow or other, every child got straightened out, except me. My mother went away because she could sew 100 buttonholes in an hour. And for 100 buttonholes, she got 5 cents. She had no time to wait while the mills of the Board of Education ground small enough to catch me. So, there I stood, all alone in the big empty room. And through the half-opened window, I could hear the sweet sounds of freedom filter up from Houston Street.
Ibbity, bibbity, sibbity, sap. My mother says that you should be it.
Slowly, I felt the tentacles of education closing down around my soul. And then, to add the final straw to my misery, around the corner came the sweet, tantalizing sound of a street piano, wending its way through the pushcarts. And as it turned the corner, I saw my customary place behind it usurped by a small girl who danced to the music with a wild abandon. Huh. This last catastrophe was too much, and I dissolved into hopeless tears.
That's all right. I think I've found him.
Hello. Are you Morris Mogilevsky?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I think you're supposed to be in my class. I'm Miss Kelly. Is it that bad? Oh, here, honey. Now, what is it?
I got afraid. I ain't so big. And I don't know where my mommy is.
Oh, is that it?
I got afraid over you.
Over me? Don't you want to be in my first reader class? Now, Morris, listen to me. If you'll come along to room 18, you can be a monitor.
A what?
A monitor. I need a monitor for the goldfish bowl.
Fishes? From gold?
That's right, Morris. Now dry those tears and come along to room 18.
Are you the new boy?
Uh-huh.
I'm Sadie Gonorowski. Ain't teacher pretty? Her apron's from silk.
Oh, she's all right.
And is she fierce for clean hands? Honest, she keeps soap special.
Soap? Just for washing hands?
Sure.
Our teacher's something special. I'm the monitor of the pencil points. I keep all teachers' pencils sharpened.
Ah, that's nothing. I'm monitor of the goldfish bowl.
You? A monitor already? A greenhorn like you?
I ain't no greenhorn. I come out of Russia already 6 months.
Gee, monitor the first day already. Teacher must have awful loving feelings with you. Gee.
And so on my first day in school, I joined the official cabinet of room 18. My portfolio, the goldfish bowl. We were the privileged few of the first reader class. For after 3 o'clock, when the ordinary common grade scholars had to leave the building, we could stay with teacher to discharge our duties. Concetta Aiello, monitor of the window box, would prune each feeble leaf tenderly. And Sadie Gonorowski would sharpen each pencil to a murderous point. Once, the principal came in at 3:30, just as Concetta spilled a spoonful of humus on the floor.
Miss Kelly, I've meant to speak to you about these botanical exhibits.
Yes, Mr. Alden?
You know, they do detract from the uniform look of our classroom.
Well, I know that, Mr. Alden, but my curriculum extract does say to cultivate the appreciation of natural phenomena and beauty.
Oh, yes, of course. Now, the regular series of memory gems for recitation.
Oh, Mr. Alden, I'm afraid it doesn't mean much to these children to memorize a poem about skylarks, when the only birds that they know about are dead chickens and the stork.
Morris, you let go of my pigtail!
And autumn leaves are fairly scarce on Houston Street.
Oh, but surely, Miss Kelly, Central Park would...
Mr. Alden, it takes 10 cents car fare to get to Central Park. That's close to what these children spend for food for a whole day. Concetta's window boxes are as close as these babies can get to realizing what nature is.
Oh, surely you're exaggerating, Miss Kelly.
Well, you're new in this district, Mr. Alden. Sadie? Sadie?
Yes, teacher, ma'am.
Sadie, do you know what the country is?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
Well, what is it, dear?
The country is the Fresh Air Fund. They take you there when you ain't so healthy. And sometimes you don't come back.
I went to Central Park once, teach. I'm seeing a lake, a water lake, and a bird with a rubber neck.
I had an auntie that had a bird.
Did it have a rubber neck?
Nah, it sat all day in a cage and scupped.
Scupped?
Sure, scupped back and fro.
It's a local word, Mr. Alden. The bird swung back and
Sure, scupped.
You see, Mr. Alden, it doesn't do much good to talk about fields and cows when these children often have never tasted milk. No, Concetta's window boxes and Morris's goldfish are the most important thing I can teach these youngsters.
Look out, Dopey. He'll spill the water.
They learn how to read and count and march around the room. But if I can teach them that the world has something more for them than tenements and sweatshop homework at night, then... What is it, Sadie? Why are you tugging at my apron?
Teacher, ma'am, I'm all through with the pencil points. They're real fierce sharp.
That's fine, Sadie.
So now can I stay and help Concetta with the window boxes? She promised to find me a crawly bug, a real live one.
You see, Miss Kelly was of the garden school in education. She thought of the children as growing plants, knowledge as water, and her part in the scheme to understudy the sun and coax the plants to absorb water. Mr. Alden, the principal, was of the carpenter school. He held that facts were straight and hard, minds not quite so hard, and the teacher's job to chip and chisel the minds so that the facts could be nailed on them. Then, one day, near the end of the term, Miss Kelly was lecturing on a subject dear to her heart, the use of soap and water, and her insistence on the close union between such garments as were meant to be united.
You see, nice boys and girls always have their shirts tucked into their trousers. And little girls...
No,
little girls always...
No!
I seem to be interrupting Morris and Sadie. What were you whispering about, Morris?
She made a snoot on me, teacher, ma'am.
A what?
A snoot with her fingers and her nose like this.
Yes. All right, Morris.
It was a real fierce snoot. I had a friend.
All right, Morris. Now, Sadie?
Morris wasn't polite with me. I asked him with a please.
You asked him what with a please?
A safety pin for my ribbon.
You wanted to borrow Morris's pin?
That's right, teacher, ma'am. But he ain't so polite.
Oh, but teacher, it's all I got holding me up. If I give Sadie my pin, it wouldn't be so polite either.
It was in mid-morning recess that day that I was introduced to another mystery of America. We were in the schoolyard, and I was standing next to Sadie Gonorowski, who was skipping rope at a madcap pace.
Pepper, salt, mustard, cider, vinegar. Ouch!
You missed.
Hello, Morris. You got yours?
My what?
Present for Miss Kelly. It's promotion day.
What's that?
I'm not sure. But on promotion day, it's polite to give teacher a present. My big sister told me.
I didn't hear.
You ain't got no present?
I didn't know.
That ain't so polite. Don't you like Miss Kelly? Hey, Morris, wait a minute. Where are you going? You'll be late for school.
The words of Sadie Gonorowski ate into my heart, and I ran homewards, taking the 5 flights up to our house at a dead run, bursting in on my mother, who sat, as I always remembered her, knee-deep in sewing, a garment in her hands. But there was no money for perfumed soap or candlesticks, for my father had been laid off, and the price of buttonholes sewed had gone down to 4 cents a hundred. There was no money in my house for a promotion day present for my teacher. When I got back to room 18, the promotion day season was in full swing. Miss Kelly's desk was piled high, and the presence of cake on cake of fragrant soap was urgently perceptible. Teacher's hair was laden down with imitation tortoiseshell combs, and her blouse glittered with campaign buttons of American celebrities, starting with James G. Blaine and William Jennings Bryan, and ending with our current hero, Teddy Roosevelt.
Children, I don't know what to say, really. Oh, I had no idea. And the presents are so lovely. I want to thank all of you. Isidore Applebaum for the beautiful calendar, and Sadie Gonorowski for the soap.
Use it in good health, teacher.
That's a lovely thought, Sadie. And I want to thank you all again, children, all of you. I'm sure no other teacher in the world has so much soap.
And perfume.
And perfume. I'm sure of that.
But promotion day meant more than soap and perfume. For it was on that day that the Honorable Tim O'Shea, Assistant Superintendent of Schools, made his tour of inspection.
No, you're not to be nervous, Miss Kelly.
Oh, of course not, Mr. Alden.
You know, of course, that your license to teach depends on Mr. O'Shea's recommendation, but there's no need at all to be nervous. No need at all.
Yes, sir.
He's just finished yesterday at Broom Street School.
He did?
5 dismissals, 9 cases of nervous exhaustion, and an epidemic of hysteria.
Oh.
But there's no need to be nervous, Miss Kelly. No need at all.
Mr. Alden and the Honorable Mr. O'Shea marched into our classroom at 2 o'clock and were seated in the chairs of honor.
Look, Sadie, the man with whiskers. It could be teacher's papa.
Nah, it's company. See, he's sitting in the company chair.
Just go on with your lesson, Miss Kelly. Mr. Alden and I will observe.
Yes, sir. We were just going to have our afternoon march. All right, children. Everybody stretch way up. Way up. All loosened up. Ready for the grand march.
Teacher, Miss Green, she told me to tell you Mr. O'Shea was
was... She sent a note for you, teacher.
Later, consider that the class is going to march.
May I see that note, Miss Kelly? Thank you. Gumshoe Tim is in the building. Green in a dead faint. She thinks she's fired. Pass the word. May I dictate an answer? Ready? Miss Green may come too. She's not fired yet. Signed, O'Shea. All right, Miss Kelly. Suppose we skip the marching. Can the children read?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, sir, they can read. Children, readers out.
Hey, Morris, look at teacher.
Oh, she's got a frayed, a real fierce frayed from the company with whiskers.
Teacher wouldn't be with us no more.
No.
Sure, he's a superintendent. If he says no, no more teacher.
Oh, no. That'd be awful.
All right, Morris, no more whispering.
Teacher, yes, ma'am. I tell you, excuse.
What did he say?
Morris was apologizing.
Isn't he rather big to speak such broken English? You know, it's part of our duty to stamp out foreign dialects. Now, let's hear the children read.
One by one, we stood and read our line from the first reader. All went smoothly until teacher turned to write on the board, and then suddenly my heart stopped, and then raced on, for as I looked at teacher, I saw I had a new and perilous duty to perform.
When somebody's clothes is wrong undone, it's polite to say excuse and tell it out.
Now, Miss Kelly, who daily lectured us on the virtue of buttons and laces, now she had fallen victim to the stretch way up which preceded the marching. At first, I hoped that someone else would see her danger and act. But no. My soul cried out with Hamlet's, "The time is out of joint, O cursed spite, that ever I was born to set it right."
Miss Kelly, that boy has his hand up.
Well, Morris, what is it?
But the mission was too great. What words can you use to mention ineffective safety pins to one's glass of fashion?
I think I'll sit down.
A dark shadow passed over Mr. O'Shea's face. And immediately the vision of Miss Kelly, drummed out of the classroom, flashed before my eyes. Only today she had warned us that only common little boys and girls come apart. And now, the company with whiskers must be misjudging her.
Miss Kelly, that boy again.
Morris, dear, what is it? Please, Morris, tell me what you want.
Teacher,
Morris, if you're going to interrupt the reading lesson like this, I shall be quite angry.
Teacher, I tell you, excuse. It's polite I tell you something, only I got afraid.
Oh, you bother your teacher with this nonsense. Now, out with it, boy. Come here.
Morris is a strange boy, Mr. O'Shea. I think it might be better not to press the point.
If you have no control over him.
Miss Kelly, I think you'd better let us hear what Morris has to say. Discipline, you know.
It's polite I tell you something, only I got afraid. I got afraid.
Morris, dear, afraid of what? Are you sick? Would you like to go home to your mother?
No, ma'am. I ain't sick. I tell you, excuse.
Here, bring that by to me. I'll show you how to manage refractory children. Now, Morris, will you tell me why you raised your hand?
I couldn't tell nothing out. I got afraid.
Ah, nonsense. Now, come here, sir.
Teacher!
Here, there, Morris, honey, there. I must ask you to leave this room at once, Mr. O'Shea. You frightened the child until he can't breathe.
Really, Miss Kelly.
I can do nothing with him while you remain. What? Please go. There, Morris. There now.
Teacher, I want to whisper with you in your ear.
Yes, Morris.
Teacher, Miss Kelly, I know it's polite I should tell you something when my hand is up. Only I had a fraid over the company with whiskers. Teacher, ma'am, it's like this. Your jumper's sticking out from between your dress, and you could please borrow my safety pin.
Oh, Morris. How could you have said that? How could you?
If I hadn't known that grown-ups, especially teachers, never cry, I might have thought then that tears shone in Miss Kelly's eyes. The principal and the company with whiskers looked solemn for a struggling moment, and then broke into laughter loud and long, until the Honorable Tim was limp and moist. The children waited with anxiety, but when Miss Kelly contributed a wan smile, we decided it was some mysterious holiday, and we all went wild with laughter. Miss Kelly had passed her test. Somehow, I felt that I had a part in her success. Now the great day was over. A large pile of wrappings from Miss Kelly's promotion day gifts had been carted off to the big wastebasket in the hall. And it was then that I approached her.
Teacher, ma'am.
Morris, I thought you were all gone.
I've got something for you. For promotion day.
Oh, now, Morris, dear, you shouldn't have troubled to get me a present. You and I are such good friends.
A teacher, ma'am, it's like this. I ain't so big, and all I know is that my present ain't for boys. It's for ladies.
I don't quite...
You see, yesterday my papa comes to the house and gave my mama the present. And when she looks on it, she has an awful glad... And tears stands in her eyes. And she says, thanks. And she kisses my papa a kiss. And my papa is real polite. So he says, you're welcome. So I knew it must be a real good for ladies present. But...
Yes, Morris?
Well, you ain't never kissed me a kiss. And I seen how you kissed Sadie Ganarovsky. So... I thought...
Perhaps that isn't for boys either.
Oh, teacher, yes, ma'am. It's for boys. It's polite you kisses me a kiss because it's a real for ladies' presents. So here it is.
This paper, Morris?
For you, teacher. I didn't have no soap. Here, teacher, ma'am. It's for you, for promotion day.
My teacher kissed me then, and cried, I think. For the little bit of paper that I gave her, my present for ladies, was the paid-in-full receipt for a month's rent for our room on the top floor of a Monroe Street tenement. That was promotion day in PS 147. And the next term, we found we had to move across the hall, away from the goldfish bowl, the window boxes, and Miss Kelly. We objected very strongly.
Oh, no. No. No.
We don't want to leave Miss Kelly. Never.
Here, children. What are you doing in my office?
We want to know why Miss Kelly wasn't promoted, too.
Is it maybe she ain't so smart?
It ain't fair. Joey was bad all term, and now he gets to stay with Miss Kelly, and we gotta go away.
But Joey was left back.
We all want to be left back with Miss Kelly.
Oh, here now, we can't have this. Have any of you got any baby brothers or sisters?
Sure, I got two.
Well, then you know how hard it is to take care of them.
You're telling me. All the time, rock, rock, rock. You could go crazy.
Ah, that's just it. We have to have our best teachers for the youngest children. Why, you've all grown up now.
We are?
Of course. And we need Miss Kelly to take care of the new first readers.
I suppose so.
We couldn't be left back?
Oh, no, you can't be left back.
Well, it'll never be like the old days. Come on, Sadie, Concetta. There's nothing we can do. We're too old now. We growed up.
And so the wisdom of age settled down on our small heads. And we left room 18 to make way for another batch of little immigrants, swept in off the streets of the East Side. But we went forth from room 18, changed, our tongues smoother in the new language, our minds set in the open paths of our new country. Myra Kelly was our teacher. She brought the sun of learning and love to us in our narrow gutter playgrounds and rotted tenement houses. Transplanted from hate and sorrow in the old world, we took root and grew in the new soil, nurtured and cultivated by the lady in our ghetto with the green thumb.
You have been listening to Inheritance, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the American Legion. And now it's our privilege to hear from Colonel Alvin M. Owsley, past National Commander of the American Legion. Colonel Owsley.
We have listened to another story in the life of America that brings to our minds the rich treasure of our inheritance. America is the gift of the best in the many races of men who came to our shores seeking the blessings of life. The American Legion wholeheartedly endorses the National Council of Christians and Jews for promoting brotherhood and being one of the strikingly significant forces to bring together men of all faiths in a common effort to serve the general welfare through men of goodwill. One of the lasting, historic, and dramatic incidents of the devotion of Americans to their faith is brought to mind by the four chaplains of three faiths, two Protestant ministers, a Roman Catholic priest, and a Jewish rabbi. When the United States transport Dorchester was torpedoed on February 3, 1943, these chaplains of the fighting men's units, when it was determined that all was to be lost, gave their life belts to enlisted men, joined hands in their common faith, and went down praying as the vessel sank. These praying chaplains gave their lives that others might live in their faith. During this Brotherhood Week, there is an invitation and a rare privilege to renew our spirit of goodwill, recall our priceless inheritance, our freedom to worship, and respect the rights and dignity of man. The crest and the crowning of all good, life's final star, is brotherhood.
Thank you, Colonel Owsley. Next week, Inheritance will take you on another journey through the pages of American history. Today's story was written by Ernest Canoy. Included in the cast were Virginia Payne as Miss Kelly, David Pfeffer as Morris, John McGovern as the principal, Jock McGregor as O'Shea, Ellen Spencer as Consetta, and Pamela Fitzmaurice as Sadie. Your narrator was Norman Rose. This is Roger Bowman speaking. Inheritance was produced by William Welch and directed by Daniel Sutter. This has been an NBC Radio Network production.
Enjoy variety entertainment on The Dennis Day Show, today over most NBC radio stations.